Faith is believing when I don't see it, obeying when I don't understand it, and persisting when I don't feel like it. Hang on. God will make a way if you trust him. Remember the story of Job. Job lost it all. And in that moment of having lost everything, said, God, blessed be the name of the Lord. You give and you take away, and it doesn't matter whether I'm up or down or high or low, I'm going to trust you, God.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Most of the time, when you think of passing on a legacy, you think of leaving something to your loved ones. Money, a classic car, your home, jewelry, or maybe a family heirloom. Those are all nice things, but no thing lasts forever. Wouldn't you like to leave behind an inheritance that lasts into eternity? Today, as we continue with our series called Leaving a Lasting Legacy, Pastor Rick shares with us 6 indispensable biblical principles you need to pass on to the next generation to ensure their spiritual success, your legacy that will last into eternity. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part 2 of a message called Leaving a Legacy of Faith.
As a kid, did your parents ever ask you to do something that in your mind seemed unreasonable? Yes. And did you ever ask them, why should I do this? Yes. And they would say, because we had the same parents. Because I say so. What kind of answer is that? That's no reason. That's just an excuse. Looking back, were some of the things that your parents told you to do because they said so really the right thing? Yes. Can you see in hindsight now how they were wise? Yes. God will ask you those questions the rest of your life, not just when you're a kid. When you're 80 years old, God is going to be saying to you, I want you to do this. And you're going to go, why? That doesn't make sense. And God will say, because I say so. This is a test. Faith is believing when I don't see it, but it's also obeying when I don't understand it. And the point is, if I learn to do what God tells me to do without question, even when it seems absurd, even when it seems the exact opposite of my natural tendency, then I'm going to grow in faith and I'm going to get blessed. On the other hand, if you do not learn to obey when you don't understand it, when God says, I want you to do this, whether it seems like the wise thing or not, I want you to do this. If you don't do that, you will miss so many blessings in life that God had in store for you. I once asked Kay when I was preparing for this message, could she think of a time when she obeyed God without understanding it? And she said, yeah, when you asked me to marry you. Just think of the blessing she would have missed. Baby, oh baby, oh baby. What of the blessing I would have missed. 31 years later, was that a good call? Absolutely, yeah. We could just dismiss now. That's the end of the sermon. Faith is believing when I don't see it, obeying when I don't understand it. Number 3, it's persisting when I don't feel like it. Now, if there's ever, friends, ever a value we need to teach the next generation, it is this one. Persistence. Never giving up when you feel like it. Because we live in a culture that is manipulated by its moods. We live in a culture that has been taught, if it feels good, do it. If you don't feel like doing it, don't do it. Do only what you feel like doing. And as a result, we are ruled by our emotions. And that is a mistake. The truth is, doing the right thing is not always the thing you feel like doing. And maturity is when you don't live by your feelings, but you live by your commitments. And frankly, I don't want to pass on that cultural value to the next generation. Just do whatever you feel, which those of us who were baby boomers or even Gen Xers grew up with. It's not exactly the right thing, because doing the right thing is not always something you feel like doing. Now, I'll be honest with you. This is going to blow my image to some of you, but I don't always feel like being nice to people. Okay, I don't. Sometimes, you know, at the end of a long day, about 11 o'clock at night, I'm in grocery shopping and somebody goes, Pastor Rick! What? You know, I don't really feel like being nice. Can I tell you my problems? No. That's the way I feel. It's not what I do necessarily. But the truth is, so I know this is going to shock you, but sometimes I don't feel like being nice to my wife and kids. I don't feel like doing the unselfish thing. Sometimes I'm quite selfish. I want to just lay on the couch and watch TV. I don't want to do something else. I don't want to think of you, handle another problem. Well, just because I don't feel like it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. In fact, this one will really shock you. Sometimes, as a pastor, I don't feel like praying or reading my Bible. But I do it. I found that if the only time I pray is when I feel like it, the devil makes sure I never feel like it. If the only time I read my Bible is when I feel like it, the devil makes sure I never feel like it. Maturity is when you live your life on your commitments, not on your feelings. And the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is successful people are willing to do what unsuccessful people don't feel like doing.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across our country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
The difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is successful people are willing to do what unsuccessful people don't feel like doing. They develop habits. You don't get to the Olympics because you feel like it. You get to the Olympics by hours and hours in training that you didn't feel like doing. Lonely training. You don't get to become a master musician without hours and hours of rehearsal that you probably didn't feel like doing. You don't become the super salesman of your corporation by just making the sales calls when you feel like it. It's when you go on, you do that extra effort, you do the extra hour, and you do the extra time when you don't feel like it. That's how you become successful. You don't become a godly man or a godly woman by simply doing what you feel. Godly men and godly women make the choices to develop the habits that produce godliness in their lives. And it's not any easier than working out or dieting or anything else that may be good for you, but you don't feel like doing. How do you develop persistence? Faith is being persistent when I don't feel like it. Well, the key is to look not at your problem, but to look at the Lord. Keep your eyes on that which is invisible, on the Lord. Probably the greatest example in the Bible of persistence is Moses, who for 40 years led a group of crying, squabbling, complaining babies around the desert while they questioned his leadership the entire time. And yet he never gave up. And the Bible says this in Hebrews 11:27, it was by faith that Moses, when he was not afraid of the king's anger, left Egypt and was not afraid of the king's anger. He held to his purpose. Oh, he's purpose driven. Like a man who could see the invisible. Now, the key is that last phrase, circle it. He could see the invisible. You keep your eyes on God. You look at your problem, you're going to be distressed and depressed. You look at God, you're going to be at rest. The issue is, what do you have your eyes on? Now, I have no doubt today in a crowd this side that some of you are discouraged or depressed or in despair even. And you feel like giving up on that relationship. It's just not working. You feel like giving up on your marriage. I've tried. It ain't working. Or you feel like giving up on your job or your dream or your finances. We're never going to get out of debt. Or your health or your relationship to God. Or that prayer that's been unanswered. You feel like giving up, and God brought you here today to say, don't do it. Don't give up. Faith is believing when I don't see it, obeying when I don't understand it, and persisting when I don't feel like it. Hang on. God will make a way if you trust him. Remember the story of Job. Job lost it all. And in that moment of having lost everything, said, God, blessed be the name of the Lord. You give and you take away, and it doesn't matter whether I'm up or down or high or low, I'm going to trust you, God, because you're the one thing I can count on. Number four, faith is announcing it in order to experiencing it. Announcing it in order to experience it. In other words, sometimes you have to say it before you sense it. There's a direct connection between your mouth, what you say, and your faith. Good example of this is Joseph. And we find in verse 22, it was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, now he's about to die, he says, confidently spoke, circle that, that's announcing in order to experience it, confidently spoke of God's bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt, and he was so sure of it that he commanded them to carry his bones with them when they left. Israel had come to Egypt to be fed, and they were taken captives. And Joseph says, when you guys go back, not if, but when you finally go back to Israel, I want you to take my bones with me because I want to be buried in my homeland. Do you know how long that took? From the time he died, 400 years. That is announcing it a long time in advance before you experience it. But he was confident. He said it in advance. He spoke the future into existence. That is faith. He said, I will do it. 26 years ago, I stood up in front of 60 people at a little service of Saddleback, the first service, a little trial run service. And I announced a vision for this church and said, this is the vision. This is Saddleback Church. None of it had happened yet. We had sent out a letter. We had written a letter to the community. It said, at last, a new church for churches who've given up on traditional church services. Come to Saddleback. At Saddleback, you meet new friends and get to know your neighbors. You hear practical, positive messages that give you uplift on Monday that you heard on Sunday. You trust your children to the care of dedicated childcare workers. You hear contemporary music with the upbeat flavor. Get a lift instead of a letdown. And we hand addressed and hand stamped 15,000 of those and mailed them out 10 days before Easter. And we had our first service, and 205 people showed up. Now, the thing about that letter is when I said all those things, we had not had a service yet. I was speaking it into existence. One of the things I said at that first service is, we already have 50 acres of land. We just don't get to use it for a while. Little did I know that it would take 13 years to get it. But when we finally got it, it was going to be 120 acres. My vision was too small, but it was okay for a kid who was 25 years old. Asking God for 50 acres in Orange County at today's prices, you can figure that took a little bit of faith. I spoke it in advance. Now, announcing something in order to experience it is the way God operates. It's the way he created the entire universe in this planet. The next verse, Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. God went out and he said, let there be light. Boom, there's light. God says, let there be water. Boom, there's water. God says, let there be plants. Boom, there's plants. He spoke it all into existence. He announced it in order to experience it. Look at the verse on the back of your outline. Psalm 33:9. For he spoke, and then it came to be. That's what happens. Now, the Bible repeatedly, from Genesis to Revelation, makes a connection between your mouth and what God is able to do in your life. When you say it, you'll sense it. If you walk around all the time saying, oh, I'm such a loser, guess what? If you go out saying, this is going to be a good day today, guess what? The person who says, I can do it, and the person says, I can't do it, they're both right. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Bible says whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's an enormous power in your words. And if you're going to become a woman of faith or a man of faith, you have to change the way you talk. And you have to announce it in order to experience it. Now, sometimes speaking in faith appears totally foolish, totally arrogant, totally out of touch with reality to people who don't understand faith. God came to Abraham one day. Actually, his name was Abram. And he said, Abram, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means the father of a great nation. Now, there's only one problem with this. Abraham was 99 years of age and he had no kids. So can you imagine Abraham going to a cocktail party? Hey, what's your name? Father of many great nation. Great of many nations. Oh, that's wonderful. How many kids you got? None. How old are you? 99. Well, that's a good one. He was probably ridiculed for his name ruthlessly because God said, you're going to speak it in advance. You're going to say it in advance. You don't live in the world of human reality. You live in the world of spiritual reality, and you see it not as it is, but as it can be, as it should be, as God wants it to be, as it will be. Romans 4:17. God said, I have made you the father of many nations. He didn't have a kid yet. God who gives life to the dead, and this is key, circle this, calls things that are not as though they were. That's not lying. God isn't lying. He's speaking in faith. He calls things that are not as though they were. That is the definition of this kind of faith, announcing it in order to experience it. Look at the Living Bible. It says, next verse, God speaks of future events with as much certainty as though they were already past. Friends, if you want to understand your pastor, you need to know that I have the gift of faith. In fact, it is my primary gift. I have the gift of faith. And I live in the world of spiritual reality. And I don't tell it like it is. I tell it like it could be, like it ought to be, like God wants it to be, like it can be. Now, I realize that there are teachers out there, some well-known, who a lot of their ministry is actually just telling it like it is about the world. And there's a lot of things in the world that are pretty bad. And so they criticize this and they criticize that and they put down this. And they tend to be fairly negative because there's a lot of reasons to be negative about it. And they say, well, I just preach it like it is. I just tell it like it is. Okay, that's one way to do it. But there's a better way. Don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it can be. Preach it for faith. You see, labeling simply reinforces. Telling it like it is has never changed anybody. It only makes people defensive. For instance, if I were to say to some of you guys, you're lousy fathers. You don't spend any time with your kids. That's telling it like it is. Your career is more important than your kids. That's telling it like it is. You say you love your wife, but you don't really show her in sacrificial ways. You're a lousy father. And that just labels people, makes you defensive. And basically, you go, you're right. Look how lousy I am. When you label somebody, you reinforce them. When you tell a kid you're never going to amount to anything, you are setting them up for failure. On the other hand, if I were to say to some of you guys, I see in you the potential for greatness. If you would let Jesus Christ take control of your life, if you would let the Holy Spirit live through you, you're not going to be perfect, but if you'll let God live through you, you can become a godly man. You can become a man that your wife really does love and trust. You could become a father that your kids really do admire. You could become a man in the community that the community goes, I can count on that guy. That's a man of character. That's a man who when you can count on him. You could become that with Jesus Christ in your life. Now that motivates me to change. Not telling it like it is. Tell it like it ought to be, like it could be, like it should be, like God wants it to be. Speaking it in advance. Every single milestone in the history of Saddleback Church, I announced it in faith in advance before anybody ever believed it. Every one of them. I announced it in faith in advance. This is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen before anybody even saw it or believed it.
Pastor Rick Warren with a powerful look at what it means to leave a lasting legacy. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to rickwarren.org and listen online anytime or download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. That's rickwarren.org. Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across the country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air, and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Pastor Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting www.rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope will help us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to earth so that our past can be forgiven, so we can have a purpose for living, and so we can have a home in heaven. What a great gift that is. We're grateful for that gift, and we're grateful for all of the gifts that God does in our lives. Thanks for joining us today on Daily Hope. By the way, I'd love to hear from you. You can write me, rick@rickwarren.org. You can go to the website. You can call our 800 number.
And if you'd like to add a little gift in to help us continue this ministry or even expand it around the world, I would deeply appreciate it. And be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.